कैसे गुजर रही है जवानी न पूछिए, कैसे गुजर रही है जवानी न पूछिए। दिल रो रहा है खून के आंसू न पूछिए, कैसे गुजर रही है जवानी न पूछिए, कैसे गुजर रही है जवानी।
Smart Clark Gable lectures the upper classes, represented by Claudette Colbert.
You're in a jam, and all you can think of is your money. It never fails, does it? Ever hear of the word humility? No, you wouldn't. I guess it never occurred to you to just say, "Please, mister, I'm in trouble. Will you help me?" No, let it bring you down off your high horse for a minute. But let me tell you something. Maybe it'll take a load off your mind. You don't have to worry about me. I'm not interested in your money or your problems. You, King Wesley, your father, you're all a lot of hooey to me.
Zucker's Paramount didn't put down the bitch. Instead, the studio whisked audiences into a once inaccessible universe of sophistication and luxury. When it came to class for the masses, nobody outdid Louis B. Mayer's MGM. Everything glittered with quality and style, reflecting the vision of the man at the helm.
Mr. Mayer was very persuasive. It's about the only word I could use. And so he'd stand there and he'd watch what was going on and he'd think, "Now, just wait a minute, stop that." He says, "That's not the way to do it. I'll show you how it should be done." And he'd really go through the scene very well. Everybody, they never knew when he was going to walk in on them. They were very, very leery of them, the directors, that they never knew when Louis was going to walk down there and say, "No, that's not the way I want it." See, he was a perfectionist. He knew what he wanted, and money was no object. At Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, price meant nothing if it's to be the best.
In creating the great...
To free yourself to think for yourself to question authority.
say them silently. Please shout them out silently and hear them echo out across the universe and back to you. I am now ready for a loving relationship, and I use the unlimited power of...
Fantasy stimulates another, drawing my mind deeper into our secret world of bizarre desire. I imagine myself stretched to the four corners of the bed, kept in a state of perpetual heat by impersonal machines designed to inflict endless pleasure without mercy.
Nolan
has just said?
No, that seems perfectly in line with everything I discovered.
Is this a jazz show? You never know around here. Everything's morphing into everything, like prophesied in the ghetto a few trends ago. WZBC in the township of Big Newton, Massachusetts. See, I can prove it.
Newton.
What more do you want? There's proof for you, you scientists out there. turn to the left of you, the one you're with might be a card-carrying empiricist, seeking with all their might to prove the existence of God. And by God, they'll do that very, very soon now. Keep your eye on the Times front page. It'll be in big print. Of course, it might just be in the science section. Who am I to predict the future of my world? I don't want to be presumptuous or anything. Well, 90.3 on the FM scale can be measured and proved. This station does exist, and so do I. Therefore, I program. I am a direct descendant of Descartes. That's why I live the hellish life that I live. Going till 2 o'clock, New Metaphysics, No Commercial Potential, Part 2. Chris with Easter Island just before me, 7 to 10, every Thursday. Tonight's show, Jews in the Wood, Part 3. Can't get rid of these Jews, I'm telling you. They love the program. And there actually was parts 1 and 2. I'm not just jumping right into part 3 like I have been known to do. Like the story of my life, part 7, I think we're up to. Even though there was only part 3 and part 7 there. Of course, when this show goes into syndication on Channel 38, they'll be in order. You know how it is in the world of contracts and agents and stuff. By the way, tomorrow night, Friday night, midnight on Channel 3, Boston Cable, BNN, Boston Neighborhood, Boston Network, whatever it is, the Community Access, the TV version of ZBC, on DocuSide, with Brother Diablo, featuring New Metaphysics this week. You can see the inner operation of this program on TV for an hour. Taped over 2 weeks, winter before last, when I was strange. That's tomorrow night at midnight, channel B3, or actually A3, excuse me. And I think it'll be repeated for a couple of 3 weeks or so. 552-4686, the number down here. Well, let's have a few commercials, and then it's back to the grind. The grindhouse of radio. I'm not afraid of the dark.
Comment, Black. How does that guy do it? He always gets the girls. I remain quiet when I hear such remarks. I like to keep a low profile regard to my extracurricular activities. I don't need to advertise. I know what I've got. Ladies, hell, they know better than I do. Oh, I'm not so good looking. I was athletic when I was younger, but I'm no Mr. Universe. Medium height, medium weight. Never really excelled at anything. Certainly not school. As far as my job goes, they can all fuck themselves. But you know something? I don't give a shit. Because I've got what every guy, every woman wants. All the looks, brains, money in the world can't buy it.
Like an absent-minded artichoke. But to tree-nesting termites, it is deadly. Clinging to the nest with its prehensile tail, the pangolin damages it, bringing out armies of termites.
grit which helps to grind them up in its stump. A rabbit-sized primate climbs in search of resins which ooze from certain trees. Pangolins sometimes hollow out a termite nest and spend the day sleeping curled up inside of it, but this one goes back the way it came. This time, the rail won't go back to bed. It's almost dawn. A baby potto, left in hiding while its mother foraged, is ready to be picked up.
In creating the great movie musical, Hollywood adapted the Broadway musical, an original American art form almost wholly created by fellow immigrant Jews. The music and lyrics were often based on classic stories, reinterpreted from a Jewish perspective.
Almost all of the writing pairs that have come to epitomize Broadway have been Jewish, whether it's Lerner and Lowe and Rodgers and Hammerstein, Jerome Kern, almost all of them have been Jewish, with the exception, I think, of Cole Porter, really, here. And if you look at their plays, none of them, with the exception of Fiddler on the Roof, are about overtly Jewish themes, but all of them are about overtly Jewish concerns. So take a play like My Fair Lady. That's really about fitting in.
Again.
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
I think she's got it. I think she's got it.
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
By George, she's got it. By George, she's got it. Now once again, where does it rain?
On the plain.
She's an immigrant into that culture, that upper middle class culture. She needs to learn how to talk, something immigrants are very concerned with. She needs to know how to dress. She needs to know the codes and conventions of society.
Bravo!
Irving Berlin did more than any composer to Americanize Jewish aspirations.
Someday I'm going to murder the bugler. Someday they're going to find him dead.
To understand Berlin is to understand the Hollywood moguls. Another Cantor son, he started life in the midst of pogroms.
My life in bed.
Oh, how I hate to get up in the morning. Oh, how I love to remain the same.
Berlin was a Russian immigrant who would go on to write the quintessential American songs. He's a kind of Cyrano de Bergerac. In the foreground is Fred Astaire, the embodiment of American aristocracy, full of grace and upperclassmanship.
Putting on the top hat, tying up my white tie, brushing off my tails. I'm
in the background, the person writing the music and the lyrics is this little Jewish guy. For over 60 years, he tried to reinvent himself. In the process, he infused life into a whole new American ideal.
That day, too. He was in Le Mans, shooting the picture Le Mans, and he was having enormous problems over there. And through a very simple series of simple devices of my own machinations, I solved his problem. And I hung around a while, and I was leaving for the airport. He said, "Are you going to really leave here and not ask me to sign?" I said, "Well, yeah, because I really expect you to ask me to become your agent." So we're at a standstill. We're a standoff. And he said, I mean, he didn't know how to do it, you know? And I knew he didn't know how to do it. And it was at the end of the day, and he decided he was going to drive me to the airport, which in itself was an experience. And on the way to the airport, he started to talk. And we got to the airport, and I got out of the car. He got out. We shook hands. He said, "I'm going to fire my agent." I said, "Hey, that's great. And then what?" He said, "I'm going to be your client." I said, "That's terrific."
I wouldn't say the whole mankind, but definitely many, many people that believe that human's integrity and human superiority was in danger.
Okay, so psychological pressure on you, even more pressure than when you're defending your title against another person.
at the end of the study, and periodically, we asked them what they could smell. And everybody reported smelling alcohol, and nobody reported smelling anything else.
I'm in there. I've got a long, thick, well-shaped prick. Kind girls die for. You're laughing.
They all thought that they were in the control group.
Okay, so you...
So it's not what you imagine when you think of having underarm odors. The point is they're odorless. I guess that's why I said no.
And so then what happened? How do you know?
So what? Fuck you. Facts are facts. I go down to some bar on Wall Street around 6 o'clock and they all come. The guys with their filth club bodies, their expensive Italian suits, trying to compensate. Ladies, smart, fresh, pretty. I especially like the ladies with the big bow ties and the Adidas sneakers. I pick out the prettiest one in the room. We start talking about this or that. I act like I'm going to buy her a drink. Then I just look her in the eyes and I say, why don't we get the hell out of here? 2 hours later, I'm in some strange bedroom blowing smoke rings at the ceiling.
This worked. What happened?
Well, the key is to have each woman exposed to each of the different conditions. So each woman had a time when she had alcohol only. Then she had 2 cycles when she was exposed every single day to secretions that had been produced by a woman who was ovulating. Then after 2 cycles, she switched to having exposure to compounds that were collected from women that were about to ovulate. And we counterbalanced the design. And the key is that the same women showed the opposite effects. Either their cycles were either compressed or lengthened, depending on what type of compound they were exposed to.
They love to tell me about their boyfriends and their husbands, the wonderful men they are, so nice, so gentle, so dependable, so boring.
Oscar Wilde says, a sentimentalist is a cynic at heart. He's right. Sentimentality is the bank holiday of cynicism. Because the sentimentalist desires to have the luxury of emotion without paying for it, pleasure with no consequences, delight with no duty.
Our signs a bill authorizing a gold medal for composer Irving Berlin. It honors him for writing God Bless America and other patriotic songs. For Irving Berlin, this marks another milestone in his rise from humble beginnings to a place of highest esteem the world over.
I don't know if anything could possibly have happened that touches me as deeply as this medal. God Bless America isn't just that I wrote, but it expresses my gratitude for the opportunities and the freedom to write that song and to the country that inspired it. Thank you very much.
Adam Newton, WZBC, No Commercial Potential, Part 2, New Metaphysics, Frequency, very close to 90.3, but I would be breaking the laws of the land of the great dreamers if I told you exactly what frequency that was. I think there's a constitution involved, but it's not the American one. Something like that. Adam Newton, every Thursday, 10 to 2. Legoland coming up at 2. I'll be back next Thursday. Here are guys I'm in right here. Spinning some platters or splattering some spillage. At any rate, I don't think it'll affect the gene pool for at least a couple of generations or something like that. I can dream, though, can't I? So God will be proven to exist under this white man's burden called empiricism. I'm torquing history here a little bit. I have a license, though. It's in my wallet. But that God will not have any ambience. It'll just be like the drummers for white rock bands. You know white drummers. They make drum machines sound alive. And that's how God will be proved. Keep an eye on the New York Times for proof of that proof. Because where will we be without proof? And I can prove it. Well, let's get back to the late movie without pictures. Jews in the Wood, Part 3. Maybe we can finish these damn Jews off once and for all and get back to some McLuhan-esque cut-ups and philosophy next week. Otherwise, we're burdened with this Hollywood concept, which has become institutionalized in our consciousness, the idea that audio and video is movie. It's kind of like being gated in place, held hostage by the Gatesian business practice, holding things in place until we can get a handle on them. Well, there's no handle for this one, my friends. So something's got to give, and somebody don't get out of town alive. High drama. In high drama.
But there was that direct correlation then between being exposed.
Yeah, we would even say it's a direct cause, not a better even yet than a correlation.
Have you actually isolated the substance, the pheromone itself, what it is?
That is a very difficult task. I mean, there are all kinds of compounds there. It's not just sweat. That's the other important feature to keep in mind.
The unofficial anthem of the United States, Irving Berlin wrote the American classics Easter Parade and that most Jewish of Yuletide fantasies, White Christmas. Snow. Louis B. Mayer not only celebrated Christmas, he appropriated America's birthday as his own. Mayer claimed that he couldn't remember his real birthday, so he celebrated it on the 4th of July.
To question authority.
Instead of bidding on scripts the way we now do, we get them from agencies and things like that. Peter's going to host the show, and he's going to have Quentin Tarantino and Jim Cameron as his guests. And we're just going to, you know, save costs, indulge in myself, you know, Linda. We're all going to have to bid. You know, he's going to say, tonight's guest is Jim Cameron. Here's his new script.
Like Home Shopping.
Like Home Shopping. Home Shopping with Peter Bart.
Instead of moving towards the middle away from the defensive pressure, he normally doesn't do that.
Well, he mixes them up a little bit, Coos, too, right? Can't give him the same a diet of the same stuff all the time, right?
Yeah, but he normally he senses when the defender's coming over the top against him and keeps moving away. The guy goes underneath. Then he turns back. It's a sense that he's not necessarily seeing.
I understand, Will. going to be hand-checked by Dumas. They're trying to take the ball out of Kenny's hands, and he's reluctant to get rid of it until somebody gets a layup.
In Boston, they picked him up all over and just harassed him, tried to tire him out.
We're going to be sitting in our pajamas, you know, as the next script comes up. That's what I think the business is.
That's a great business. Linda, what's your business?
Well, you know, I don't even understand the hardware of today. I'm not really a hardware person, and I have not. I need three assistants to help get me online, so I really don't understand hardware, but I do have a sense, a little sense of software, just because I read a lot. And my sense from the market, I read a wonderful quote in Vanity Fair this week that said, "This, the baby boomers who are now running this thing and making all these decisions and have been probably for a decade now more and more, are the generation, the culture that thought they would always rule, and they turn around and discover, they thought there would never be another culture, and they turn around and discover there is." And I think what's happening is we are going to cede to whatever comes after us. The software is going to the hands of the generation that follows us. It's very different. There are children. We'll be making movies for our children, and that has something to do with technology. They were wired. They were born on the net, and they were born with effects. Their first movie was toys, you know, and they are a different market than we are. And I think we're going to have a hard time adjusting and learning and learning.
Anderson to Mercer, and Walter, like Superman, soaring out of the sky.
It will keep this creamy white fur until it is about 6 months old. For all these creatures of the forest, the sense of smell is paramount. Pottles, okapi, pangolins, jennets, and bush babies all leave scented calling cards of some sort, usually a squirt of urine along their trail. It's a constantly updated olfactory bulletin board of everyone's status and whereabouts.
On the surface of the earth, underneath actually, but it was not constructed by humans. And this attracted my interest to the UFO concept, and I studied a few more cases. Fortunately, there are many contact incidents now, many observations, and I discovered But the observations that were easiest for me and that yielded the best results are hard data observations where there are radar returns, photographs, multiple witnesses, physical traces, as opposed to situations where people think they have been kidnapped or abducted, but perhaps haven't been, where there's a lot of human confusion involved. It can be very difficult to get through human confusion to the real seed that produced the event.
Type of play we just saw when Kenny Anderson's in there, because he's so fast and so aggressive, he'll get up there for cleanups.
To take my hand and pull me over, and then I was concerned and I pulled back. When he tried a second time, he started to get closer to me. He leaned up against the chair. He started to put his hands and slide up my legs. I pushed him back. I got away. He picked at me several times, and it was just humiliating for someone of that nature. So you're supposed to trust somebody like that.
One animal, odors seem not only to supply information, but to excite a sensual frenzy. The African civet has found where the fishing genet was feeding. Just the faintest of aromas, undetectable to humans, triggers an orgy of scent barking as it rubs its facial and throat glands on the magic spot.
Become ludicrous at that time. There was crates of beer, bottles of champagne, you know, chocolates. I couldn't get in my room half the time to get over all these things. And, you know, they were all promising me quite a lot of things, which one took with a distinct pinch of salt. I think they really enjoyed the chase part of that. Not so much the chase of actually signing someone, but the desire to beat some other agency to get someone. I think that's a really highly motivating factor in what they do. And I eventually joined Creative Artists. Part of the reason was to get all these people off my back.
unlimited power of my mind to draw my soulmate to me. I am now ready for a loving relationship, and I use the unlimited power of my mind to draw my soulmate to me. That's right. You are now ready for a loving relationship, and you use the unlimited power of your mind to draw your soulmate to you. You are fully aware that you have the power and ability to create any reality you desire to live. And you have chosen to draw love into your life in the form of a warm, fulfilling primary relationship. A relationship in which you will love and be loved, and in which you will experience mutual growth. And so it is.
Just made a law saying this listserv must be used for talking about this subject, and you are expelled from the community if you don't do it.
Underneath your arms, you certainly do produce sweat that's Ekkerin sweat, and it's odorless until bacteria get a hold of it. And under your arms, you also have African glands, and no one knows what these do. It's Ekkerin sweat, and it's odorless until bacteria get a hold of it. And under your arms, you also have African glands, and no one knows what these do.
To become educated and read about European royalty seemed to me, in retrospect, more and more like events held by heads of state. He wrapped himself in the American flag and said, "That's me.
I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy. Yankee Doodle do or die. A real live nephew of my Uncle Sam, born on the 4th of July. I've got a Yankee Doodle sweetheart. She's my Yankee Doodle joy. Yankee Doodle came to London just to ride the ponies. I am that Yankee Doodle boy.
In Hollywood, they joked that the moguls went from Poland to polo in just one generation. They held Easter egg hunts and Christmas parties. Some of them sent their children to Catholic school. Their efforts to reinvent themselves seemed boundless. They even hid their Jewishness from their children and grandchildren.
I didn't know I was Jewish till I was at least 7, I think. As I remember, we were in Scarsdale, and I was going to public school, and my mother said, "In case somebody asks you what your religion is, you're Jewish." And I said, "Okay, you know." I mean, I don't think I even asked, "Well, what's that?" You know.
I was brought up by Catholic governesses who took me to the Catholic churches. And I learned prayers in French, and I wore a cross.
A young associate of mine came in my office one day, and I've been saying, let's sign James Coburn. And this young guy knew James Coburn and his wife. And I said, listen, you're the one to go after James Coburn. Just get me into a meeting with him. That's all I need. If you get me into a meeting with him, nothing happened. And finally, one day, he said to me, my associate said, listen, I got to tell you, there's a problem. Beverly Coburn, Jim's wife, said that the reason that that CMA is so successful is because you have mafia connections. And the last time I heard that was in 1947 when they said that about MCA, you know? And I said, oh, yeah, come on. He said, no, I'm telling you, she thinks that we have mafia connections. Anyway, a meeting was set up, and I went up to the Coburn house, and I said, listen, before we get into anything, I want to get one thing straightened out. Now, I understand that you think that I am somehow involved with, and I said, it's very warm in here. And I said, I understand you think I'm involved with the mafia. And I just want you, may I take my coat off? I just want you to know, and as I did this, with the mafia, I had a holster with a .45 in it. And that's all I did, and they both fell on the floor, and the tension was broken.
Nancy's joining me because the message this evening is not my message, but ours. Despite our best efforts, shortages of marijuana are now being reported. From the early days of our administration, Nancy has been using marijuana on a daily basis, and her personal observations and efforts have given her such dramatic insights that I wanted her to share them with you this evening.
I yearn to find a way to help share the message that drugs open your eyes to life.
So unlike anything they've got at home, they love to beg for more. I love to give it to them. Ever see a girl cry because she's so happy? Ever see someone beg to tear your clothes off? Ever see a woman faint because she's had such an intense orgasm?
We quest for purity and innocence, and when we don't find it, we become cynical. I'm simply here to say that there is an alternative. It's called the blues sensibility. Called jazz sensibility. Black folk have no monopoly on it. The greatest writers of this century were neither sentimental nor cynical. Anton Chekhov, Franz Kafka. Is it without any quest for innocence or without losing sense of possibility? The great writers of this, our own civilization, Toni Morrison's and William Faulkner's and Thomas Pynchon's, and above all for me, John Coltrane, as an artist, provides a way out
We need more blue sensibility in America that forces us to wrestle with legacies of evil, be they white supremacy or male supremacy or vast economic inequality. And I conclude, you've been very kind. That blue sensibility consists of four quick points. That sense of history. We have to be able to say to one another, we are not a city on the hill sitting above history with some direct access to the Most High. God does not love Americans more than God loves Lithuanians or Armenians or Israelis or Palestinians or Rwandans or Ethiopians. That we are not a special people, but rather we are a people trying to do a special thing. And we've been fortunate at it, sustaining a democratic project. But like any civilization, it can come and go and ebb and flow. And if we don't renew ourselves and rededicate ourselves, we can lose it.
All Americans are now being faced with a continuing campaign of censorship and harassment by the government at all levels. We are all going through a difficult time concerning our personal rights, rights guaranteed to us by the First Amendment. You see, the government is trying to censor what you want to hear, say, and think, even if it's in the privacy of your own home.
Authority. It's to free yourself, to think for yourself, to question authority. No, it's the American way, it's the human way to try to think better. It's the American way, it's the human way to try to think better.
And 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday.
Look for early bird specials throughout the store from 8 to 11 a.m. Friday and 7 to 10 a.m. Saturday.
During our holiday sale, get big savings.
Deals from Chicago, and then to his big
and basically, we'll try to build something. If you can get a good wish recorded at home, it reflect what we can look.
All right, do you have a Merry Christmas?
I bid ye rise and give the sign of the horns. Open wide the gates of hell. The lower heavens beneath you, let them serve you. govern those who govern, casting down such as fall, bring forth with those that increase and destroy the rotten.
See, responsibility, integrity, we've talked of it so many times. But those who don't seem to or can't seem to get that esteem from themselves, because I'm not honest. See, that knocks it right out the ballpark, right off, you see. It's real hard to give yourself self-esteem if you're lying to yourself. Yeah? Drop of their life. Everyone seeks esteem.
This optimist about the movie business. When you look at the future, I think the one thing that everyone has a good deal of consensus on is the importance of the digital revolution. And for once, those catchphrases are hard to argue with. It's digital, and it will be revolutionary. And it's here now.
And did you become Catholic?
No. No, it's just that I didn't know anything about the Jewish religion. I didn't know it, what it was. I realized that my father had never told me anecdotes about the old country, that I didn't even know what his real name was. I didn't know the little village that he came from. I knew nothing about his life.
Awful flute of hoon. schedule?
It in the vivid colors that God gave us as a precious gift to his children.
And drug abuse is not a crime. Drugs and excessive alcohol are used by former Attorney General Meese.
Drugs help us create love and hope and trust and confidence.
Being friends to others is the best way of being friends to ourselves.
It's up to us to change attitudes and just simply enjoy life to the fullest.
And in the most important area, individual use, we see progress. The U.S. military has more than tripled the use of drugs among its personnel since 1980. Tonight, I can report to you that Vice President Bush smokes marijuana regularly.
Now, and when you look at that and you say, well, what are the important constituent parts of that as far as content is concerned? Someone said this morning, content is, you don't watch digital, you watch the content on digital. And if you analyze what content there's information content and there's entertainment content.
Take a little break from the programming. Just putting that light into formation. Separating all the constituent parts. And then integrating them into a formation. And then, of course, utilizing the human knack for transcendence, otherwise known as why are we here? What's the meaning of life? Is life determined or is there free will? Down here at the Music Factory in Newton, WZBC, pumping the hits out, according to Paola rules and regulations. Lines of coke and wads of bills, and of course those timeshare in the Virgin Islands. Don't tell anybody. New metaphysics, Gary Geiserman at the sitting on the throne. Seat of a thousand flushes, if you will. Enjoying every one of them. Going till 2. No commercial potential part due. Phone number down here for source material. Don't be afraid to call in. We have a very pretty receptionist taking your calls, with a voice trained in the professions to sound nice to you, alluring, welcoming. I myself wasn't trained in the same place, I might admit. But I would have liked to have been, perhaps. 552-4686. In the 617 area zone block, 5524686. Jews in the Wood Part 3, resuming after these messages.
Another very common rule people have on listservs is you must be polite to each other.
And if you look at the information content, that has certain rather worrying things about it. While it can boom tremendously, it can bust tremendously as well and has no residual value. So if someone comes up with a newer, better, faster, sexier, cheaper version of Bloomberg, however big and successful Bloomberg is, they can disappear tomorrow without any residual value.
I realized that the name Warner was probably not correct, but I thought being Polish it might have been Werner. To this day, I really don't know what our original name was.
Pangolin has fed well and now sleeps in the hollowed core of the termite nest.
The story could not end there. Hollywood had to have a Hollywood ending. Dad and his old Jewish ways are dead, while the hero in American blackface sings triumphantly with his Gentile girlfriend waiting in the wings.
I want a young smile for my man.
Your Honor, personally, I hate sexual harassment laws. The original force behind them were disgruntled lesbians who felt they weren't given the same opportunity to get ahead.
Excuse me, disgruntled lesbians?
Yes.
Lesbians started sexual harassment laws?
Along with ugly women who were jealous because pretty girls got all the breaks in the workplace. If you look at the majority of women that bring these suits, ugly. A pheasant flies through the room, they point.
Mr. Fish, without going to the depths of where you have now taken us, how does this argument remotely support your cause of action today?
Simple. My cause of action is premised on the notion that women are victims, Your Honor. They need special help. When you look at the evolution of these sexual harassment laws, what we're really saying is that women should qualify under the Federal Disabilities Act. They are less able. They cannot cope with romance in the office place. They cannot contend with having to do a job and have a man smile at them. It's too much. Look where we are, Judge. It used to be quid pro quo. Then it became hostile environment. Now it's Seinfeld episodes. Women can't take it. They bruise. The laws of this land are here to protect the weakest and most vulnerable members of our society. She's a woman. Protect her.
For many, many, many years.
Got a low kick to get rich quick. If you
an agent. You got to have a certain degree of, you know, instincts. You have to know. It's sort of like being a fisherman. You need to be able to, like, look at the water and tell if there's any fish underneath it.
The competition between the agencies in Hollywood today are as rough as I've ever seen it. I've been doing it for about 15 years, and I think at this moment it's as tough as it's ever been.
The last company I worked for, I got very, very upset, and actually I ended up leaving there because I said that the large agencies are like wild animals. They spend much of their time feeding upon each other. I said it in a slightly more graphic manner, alluding to the pirate days.
He said that the role of the major Hollywood agencies was essentially to rape and pillage in behalf of their clients. It's a very aggressive culture. Jeremy came out and said it. He said he spoke what was the truth. It was a very unseemly truth. There were objections.
The only people who truly feed on each other are the agents. I think it happens more among the large agencies who, you know, have tremendous overhead. And in order to justify an overhead, you have to expand a client base. And it's a client base that's always changing because people are always leaving because someone's always stealing them, and then people are always coming because you're always stealing someone.
It's not always easy to get started. The only man I see on a regular basis is my trainer, Michael.
I think probably L.A. is the worst place to meet men in the world. I really think so. Because there is a lot of people trying to get ahead in the business. And it's not like you can negate who you are, or that I feel my sort of celebrity would overshadow anybody's ability to respond to me as a human being. But, like, what am I going to do, go to singles bars? I mean, since I was 20 years old, I never wanted to give anybody the anecdote, hey, guess what, I slept with Princess Leia. So, though that has changed, it's just a strange place for dating.
Hi, Gina, I'm Joe Gentry.
Down there. Doe Gentry hosts regular parties for singles hoping to live happily ever after.
And James, now didn't I bring you the most gorgeous woman?
Yeah.
I'd like you to meet Tina. This is Sal and Salvador.
Tina, how are you? Salvador.
She's into life extension. How to live a long, long time. Not exercise.
Not much romance here. The reality is that dating has become a business deal. Take my advice. Stay home, like me, with your trainer.
It's been interesting. There have been plenty of people who come here for different reasons.
On a listserv run by somebody with high standards of politeness, if you insult other people in your posts, you get removed from the listserv.
No, she doesn't. I don't think so. I don't think she dies in the book. You just sort of leave her in a bloody mess, but I don't think
after being gang raped and
gang banged, yeah.
Yeah. And then in the hitcher dismembered
definitely.
By trucks. Yeah. Your limbs are tied to trucks heading in opposite directions. This was were you ever actually tied to the trucks?
I was, but the trucks didn't move.
I guess there's no turning back. I don't really know. But before that night, I'd never killed anything in my whole life. Who has? But, well, maybe it was some kind of turning point. Some kind of turning point, you know. What happens is you get so involved with these guys, so wrapped up in their sick, sick little sex games, that before you know it, and each time it gets sooner and sooner, that you need more and more. And sometimes, you know, there just ain't enough to go around. That is, maybe only you and he got so much to give. And well, once you've given it all the fuck away, all that you got to give, right? Gone, done, given it away. Well, that's when you start to steal. Because you want to give more and more, and you want to get more and more, and there just ain't nothing left to be had that you ain't already had. So you think, and you think, and you think, I mean, just about your whole fucking life, right? And he still wants more, and what's worse is that you still want more too, right? Your whole fucking life. And it still ain't enough. So maybe you have to give him someone else's, something else's life. I mean, someone, something, like in loving memory, like in dedication, like more...
And there's one more thing. Nancy and I are hooked on heroin.
They said the trucks were just going to move 2 inches, and did I want to try it first, or did I want to see the stunt double try it first? And I'm kind of safety conscious, and so I asked to see the stunt double try it first, and the trucks moved about 3 feet.
And I guess it's right about that time that we decided on the cat killings. Well, that and the fact that old Black Romeo, or at least that's what I'd call him, you know, this real big, ugly cat the size of a fucking dog, like he'd always come around pissing all over the place, right? Sneaks in the bathroom window. I gotta leave it open because it's hot in there, right? Chases all my other animals around, always howling and a wailing and a pissing and a spraying, pestering the shit out of me, right? Every goddamn night, right about the same time. The wrong time.
Gotta think better. Gotta think better. Better. Civilian migration. I hope I'll meet you in high orbit.
Did you really expect that to be persuasive?
Yes. She's a woman, therefore disabled. Georgia, give me your shoe.
Excuse me?
May I just hold it for a second? I promise. It's not a fetish. Why would a grown person walk around on something like this? These are hugely uncomfortable. They make it easier to fall. Plus, they cause back problems. But hey, just call it fashion. What kind of a person would spend the equivalent of 2 years painting her face? Pluck out her eyebrow hairs, implant silicone or saline into her chest? There is a name for this kind of person. Woman. She does all these things because men, we like it. Don't talk to me about equality. Don't tell me you're not disabled.
Thank you.
too scared to just, you know, reach down and pet him, or too scared to pick him up and throw him out, because one day, okay, one day, I was petting him. I relent now, the ugly bastard. Him and that one old pussy eye, you know? He seemed real quiet. Real quiet. Too quiet. And we're lying in bed, and I'm stroking and petting him, you know, rubbing him all real slow and soft and sweet. And shit, he's all curled up in a little ball, okay? Well, in a big, black, rank, stinky ball, when all of a sudden he just bites the shit out of my goddamn hand, man. Hard as he can, the bastard, right? He who comes in pissing under my goddamn bed, pissing and shitting and squawking, biting the shit out of me so the blood's running all over the bed. And before I can even register what he's done, right?
He's right.
Who?
Oren, we are so busy trying to succeed in a man's world. Who says it has to be a man's world? Who the hell made up that rule?
Men.
Exactly. Well, forget it. That little Oren, he is willing to believe that it can even be a child's world. Why can't it be a woman's world? Tracy has been trying to tell me that for so long, but I need to hear it from Doogie Munchkin in order for it to sink in.
I'd like to kickbox him. That's what I'd like to do. I'd like to get Richard in a ring.
And who says I have to sit back and let Greg initiate? Who says that I can't grab a bull by his horn?
You know what I hate the most? When we challenge them, if we take a man to court, he just goes back to his little cigar bar and blows smoke out of both ends saying, damn laws. Those weak women use those damn laws.
Ladies.
The law didn't beat my old boss, Richard. I beat him. I took him on. I kicked ass. There is nothing disabled about me or women.
And it is unacceptable for you to stand up in court and call women disabled.
Unacceptable for you to sniff my shoe.
And or objectify people by their waddles.
I am not going to sit in court as token estrogen.
I am not going to flirt with clients.
You are going to start showing respect for us and this firm.
You get that?
I do. I'm also aroused.
Get out!
Verbal spankings titillate.
Joyful relationship now becomes your reality. And I am now going to give you some key trigger words for post-hypnotic conditioned response. Any time in your daily life that you find yourself needing to feel self-assured about attracting a soulmate relationship, and to intensify the power of your subconscious mind to assist you in fulfilling your goal, you will simply stop what you're doing. Close your eyes. Take a couple deep breaths. And say these words quietly to yourself. Unconditional love. The words, unconditional love, are a conditioned response signal to your subconscious mind. And when you say these words, you will feel a surge of self-assurance. And you will reinforce the suggestion to draw your soulmate to you. This conditioned response technique draws upon the power of your subconscious mind to support you in the fulfillment of your goal. The words, unconditional love, now become a powerful post-hypnotic suggestion you will experience as totally effective. And every time you hear this suggestion, and every time you use your unconditional love programming, it becomes more and more effective. And from this moment on, you create the reality you desire to live.
You are fully aware that unhappiness and failure are self-inflicted, and happiness and success are self-bestowed. And now, once again, repeat a powerful affirmation along with me. I now manifest a warm, fulfilling soulmate relationship in my life, and so it is. I now manifest a warm, fulfilling soulmate relationship in my life, and so it is. I now manifest a warm, fulfilling soulmate relationship in my life.
He rolls over and pretends he's asleep. That bastard. Knowing now that I'm not going to hit a sleeping animal. Come on. Me? I wouldn't hurt a sleeping fly, right? That's right. I'm going to wait until the bastard's awake and not expecting it. And then, bam, I'll stomp the fucker. And, well, besides that, we were bored and sick and tired, and I guess we felt like some kind of honeymoon killers anyhow, you know, fancied ourselves some kind of tough, hard asses, right? Breaking every rule in the book, that's what they're there for. And well, I mean, we didn't have anything else better to do anyway.
Nothing's quite as much fun as choosing which delicious Eggo fruit waffle it's gonna be. Blueberry, strawberry, apple cinnamon, all with real fruit stirred in the batter. Give it a try. Eggo fruit waffle. Take your pick. And open up to another great Eggo.
I recognize one of these names. It's in an X-file.
An X-file?
Yes, unsolved cases. I file them under X.
Why don't you file them under U for unsolved?
That's what I did until I ran out of room. Plenty of room in the X's.
Who decides when a case gets an X?
The director's office. It's kind of a dead end. No one's supposed to see them, but it makes for interesting reading.
Again and again in Hollywood films, the old world father is rejected. The mother is idealized, and the rebellious son sails on to glory.
I don't want you to go.
Mom, why can't I go someplace and study to be a doctor?
Oh, Jason, it takes too long, and we haven't any money.
Money? Well, we won't get any richer if I stay here. Pop's a failure, and you know it.
Jason, don't you dare.
There's a boat going up the river tomorrow, and I'm going to take it.
Well, I think America turned out to be what my grandfather imagined it to be. There was no romanticism involved. I mean, you can say it was a romantic idea that a poor guy with $19 sewn in his pocket could found an industry. I mean, that's a very romantic idea, but it turned out to be true. So, in a sense, he was a realist.
Son, dear, feel this.
It's all stiff.
I sewed a few dollars in the lining, in case you need it.
Oh, Mom.
Jason, don't feel unkindly toward your father. Everything he did, everything he's ever done, was meant for your own good.
Oh, please, Mom. Don't cry. Don't cry. Someday I'm coming home with my pockets loaded with money. Honest I will, Mom. You'll see.
All aboard!
They had left the old world penniless, and in less than 20 years, they had become the highest paid executives in America. In fact, for almost a decade, Mayer was the highest salaried man in the world. At this point, they might have concluded that their transformation from Eastern European Jews into Americans was complete. But history intervened to remind them of their origins. It was difficult for the Mughals to entirely abandon their Jewishness while the Nazis were persecuting their European kin. Some of the Hollywood Jews could not ignore these events. In 1939, a group of stars including John Garfield, Edward G. Robinson, and their spokesman Melvin Douglas risked their celebrity status to speak out against Hitler.
That all economic connections between the United States of America and Nazi Germany be totally severed. Until such time as Germany is willing to re-enter the family of nations in accordance with the humane principles of international law.
Though Carl Laemmle was no longer studio head at this time, he joined the protesters and signed their declaration. Both Laemmle and Harry Warner were active in sponsoring Jewish refugees from Europe. And in 1939, Warner made this anti-fascist speech to the American Legion.
Drive them out. Make America unsafe for those who seek to tear down what others have built through the generations since 1776. Drive them from their secret meeting places. Destroy their insidious propaganda machines. Drive out their bums and their leagues, their clans and black legions, the silver shirts, the black shirts, and the dirty shirts. Help keep America for those who believe in America.
In response to Hollywood's limited anti-fascist stand, former U.S. Ambassador to Britain, Joseph P. Kennedy, flew to Los Angeles. At a secret meeting, he told the Mughals that American Jews would be blamed if the United States were dragged into war with Germany. He warned them to stop agitating against Nazism. The Kennedy meeting had its desired effect.
At the end of the 1930s, as the shadows of war are haunting Europe, the Jews in Hollywood are very much afraid of warning American audiences of those dangers, because it looks as though it's a special Jewish angle. It looks parochial, it looks limited, and therefore it's difficult to make anti-Nazi movies in Hollywood because the Jews don't want to stand out.
The Jewish fear of standing out was expressed through another icon that would make its way to the screen.
Superman was invented by two Jewish kids in the late 1930s, when there also was a worldwide upsurge in very frightening anti-Semitism. Superman is discovered like Moses in the bulrushes. He's an immigrant from another planet who comes to Earth. He has his identity as a mild-mannered intellectual, but really underneath he's the Man of Steel. I think that's a very suggestive Jewish fantasy. It's almost as if he's passing all the time.
While the Jew felt like an alien in America, Superman was a real alien.
This looks like a job for Superman.
Yet incredibly, he is the only superhero who manages to keep his identity secret without wearing a mask. Only Jews could have created a story based on the premise that all one needs is a Gentile demeanor to hide in plain sight.
I bet you recognize him. Why, of course you recognize him. It's Adonoid Hinkle, the Bowie of Romania.
Like Superman, the Hollywood moguls were unwilling to risk their Gentile disguise. As a result, only two anti-Nazi films were made before the war. Charlie Chaplin financed and made the classic film The Great Dictator. Chaplin was neither Jewish nor American, so he didn't share the fears of the Hollywood Jews.
Warner Brothers made Confessions of a Nazi Spy only after their Jewish representative in Germany was beaten to death by Hitler's henchmen. Incredibly, this Hollywood film about the dangers of Nazism makes no reference to either Jews or anti-Semitism. Everything changed on December the 7th, 1941, with the attack on the U.S. Navy at Pearl Harbor by Hitler's Japanese allies.
True nature, the ever connected, the ever uninjured and uninjurable, the deathless, he got the healing, he took birth. And it may be that we have all taken birth to taste our true nature.
Why it's an X-File. They don't know.
They open directly into the bottom of the hair follicle, and there's a waxy substance that with puberty starts to come out along the hair shaft.
And is that the only part of the body where we find these things?
No, you also find those special glands around the breast and the pubic area as well. Becoming from is the skin cells under the arm themselves. And so we often think, well, because we take baths, we're, you know, wiping off our pheromones, they no longer have an effect. But we slough 40 million skin cells a day. And it could well be that those skin cells are contain on their cell surface proteins or within the cells themselves compounds that are having an effect.
So there, but there was that direct correlation then between being exposed.
Yeah, we would even say it's a direct cause, better even yet than a correlation.
Have you actually isolated the substance, the pheromone itself, what it is?
That is a very difficult task. I mean, there are all kinds of compounds there. It's not just sweat. That's the other important feature to keep in mind. Underneath your arms, you certainly do produce sweat. That's Ekkerin sweat, and it's odorless until bacteria get a hold of it. And under your arms, you also have apocrine glands, and no one knows what these do.
What are they called?
Apocrine glands. Mm-hmm. And they open.
What are they called?
Apocrine glands.
And they open directly into the bottom of the hair follicle, and there's a waxy substance that with puberty starts to come.
Get a sense of my own value, of my own worth. That's what esteem really is. A sense of love that I earn. The worth, the value that I have, the love that I earn through my honesty, responsibility, integrity. We've talked of it so many times. But those who don't see true or can't seem to get that esteem from themselves, because I'm not honest. See, that knocks it right out the ballpark, right off, you see. It's real hard to give yourself self-esteem if you're lying to yourself. Damned little thing, we know, but nonetheless true. If I refuse to have the integrity, or I won't be responsible, or I won't trust, or I won't do the various things that would give me some sense of my self-esteem, then I'm not going to go without. I'm not going to say, well, geez, esteem isn't one of my things in this lifetime. No, I'm going to go get it out there. And to do that, I've got to control, don't you see? To lower my standards and yours, to live on aspiration, to manipulate, to get your validation, to make me worthwhile. There's only one way to do that, in fact, and that is to control, to compete, insatiably, but nonetheless to control. And some of you fear that if you gave up control, you'd be worthless. Of course, persuasion isn't going to work. You'll bite all the bullets you want. It isn't going to stop. Because for me to stop means to admit or to accept that I value less. I'm worth less. You won't do that. It's not true, even, but you won't do it.
They play the devil's game to fill their tabernacles and pay the mortgages on their temples. Alas, too long have they studied righteousness, and poor and incompetent devils they make. They all join hands in brotherly unity, and in their desperation will recall God for the last great equivalent.
With a nice plus 500 record, you're going to be in trouble.
Draweth near to the gloom, the twilight of the gods.
I don't like it out there. Yes, Chris likes that. We're in trouble. Michael Nichols, all the ship together till January 4th or somewhere around there. And then we can write the statements. The real head coach.
You will hold no responsibility.
I'm just hanging in there right now. You can take it for the water.
That night, just lying in bed, like we usually do. And fuck it. If that fucking cat don't shut up, man, I'm gonna kick his fucking head, and I'm sick to death of not only the cat, but of him saying this, you know. I hear a lot of talk, buddy. I hear a lot of goddamn talk, but I don't see no action. I don't see no action. So I say, well, why don't you? Why don't you smash his fucking head in then?
A general ensures that his troops feed on the enemy. For one bushel of the enemy's provisions equals 20 of his. 100 weight of enemy fodder, 20 hundred weight of his.
There's a bloody major that could have 22 million, 20 million dollars in average net.
Pastry cream, cheesecake, chocolate mousse,
when Stan Kamen was alive and ran the motion picture division of William Morris, and I ran the motion picture division here, we always had an agreement that if any of his clients called me or any of my clients called him, we would notify each other so that we'd have a chance sort of to cure the problem prior to that person leaving. Not that I wouldn't take his clients, he wouldn't take mine, but just as two people respected each other, we'd give the other one the benefit of the doubt to try and save their client. Things like that don't go on anymore.
That approach to doing virtual reality. Everyone in this room was experiencing virtual reality at some point in the last 24 hours.
We need
Richard Lincoln said that to the Congress December 1, 1862. He said, we cannot escape history. We will nobly save or meanly lose the last best hope of Earth. He didn't say on Earth. He said of Earth.
I'm gonna take a little break from the Late Late Show here. Do a few commercials. Bow down to the man behind the electronic throne. And don't worry, we'll get back for six more minutes of the Late Late Show. Run by computer now, so we cannot run over. Even if the movie is in the middle of a sentence, we cut computer style straight to the ads. That's a relief. Of course, the only trouble with electricity is that the magnetism is shielded away. Electricity being male, this being a male-dominated society, we frown on too much ambient magnetism hanging around, rounding off those corners here in the kingdom. Down here in Newton, little elves at the controls, authentic card-carrying members of the Davik community, jumping up and down on that joystick. Always a thrill to watch those little creatures squealing in abject pleasure, as is their wont. I, merely a student, but follow. A love fest, if you will. And here at the Hit Factory, WZBC, pounding out the payola hits of the current time sequence, whatever that is now, just for you out there, you unknown beings, you can call in all you want, we don't know who you are. At least not consciously. Don't worry, you're loved, and you are touched. Can be proven. So don't worry about it. New metaphysics. I, Gary Geiserman, following the elves and the Ondines as they jump around on the little knobs, the little pleasure pricklies connected to the big vast electronic engine with the shielded magnetism so no one gets hurt. Because you know what happens if the plus ion and the negative ion hit that vortex two-step. All hell's liable to break loose on the planet in the Church of Humanity, shielded from any possibility of trouble in the kingdom. At least so far, there are some rousers, some rebel rousers, some outside agitators. And the populace senses change is afoot. A conversion of some kind perhaps even a transcendence in flux. And flux is something we're not supposed to have, you know, with the shielding in place. But I have a feeling there is a tear, a rent in the fabric, if you will. In fact, I think I know this, even without physical evidence. Well, let's get back to our show tonight, Jews in the Wood Part 3, after a few words from our sponsors. Well, make sure and catch New Metaphysics on TV tomorrow night, midnight. A3 on Boston Cable. BNN. Community Access. The TV version of ZBC, in a sense. Friday, midnight. Channel A3, Boston Cable. DocuSide. A production of El Diablo, featuring New Metaphysics in all its glory, down here at the Hit Factory ZBC, probably for two or three Friday midnights in a row. Don't worry, you got the real thing right here. And you have X-rated video to go along with it.
What? Now? I go, yeah, now! Now! Daddy all big in the pants, now!
Much more elegant approach to doing virtual reality. Everyone in this room was experiencing virtual reality at some point in the last 24 hours.
On the other hand, if you look at a film library which has been improved over the years, you can have a company that's run into the ground for 20 years, like as has been detailed by Peter in his book on MGM, and the thing still sells for probably more than was ever spent on the movies in the first place when it comes on the market again. In the entertainment area, there's a further distinction that needs to be made, and that is the difference between filmed entertainment, and especially Hollywood filmed entertainment, which is unique in that it has a huge worldwide attractiveness. And the other very, very important piece of entertainment content, which is sport, which by its nature is regional, local, and even those who thought there was such a thing as European soccer have been somewhat disappointed, realizing that the British may like Italian soccer, but they don't give a toss about German soccer and so on. And so if you look in the, if you agree that the digital revolution is important, and if you want to say what are the main beneficiaries of that going to be, it's content. And what sort of content? Well, information content is undoubtedly important, but it's less a better bet than the filmed entertainment content, which is a better bet than sport, which you can't own anyway.
People are not representative of all. They are alongside others, but they're doing something special. Keep track of these Americans. See how they wrestle with race and class and gender. They might be able to pull off something that's never been pulled off, creating a multiracial democracy in which all everyday people's voices can be heard. Keep track of them, but they're not special. They're just doing something special. Brazilians can do it. They really want it. They're up against their history, but they could do it. They can do it
in Zaire if they really wanted to do it. Americans can do it if we really want to do it. We've been able to do it better. How long will we be able to do it better? That's the question.
So, being the big man that he is, right, he flips out of bed muttering something like, I'll show him who's fucking king of the junkyard, right, or something is equally appropriate. And he starts making all the right cat noises, right? Black Romeo, Black Romeo, you know, baiting the bastard, calling out to him his name and shit, you know, getting real dead set, getting real set, and just what it is he feels he has some kind of mission to oblige, and he says, you gotta help me. What? Help you what? Kill it, he says. You gotta help me kill it. I say, no way, man. Just go for it, right? Just go ahead. Hit him over the fucking head with something, right? Wring its neck. I mean, come on. How many people does it take to kill one small cat? All right, so he's as big as a fucking bloodhound, but twice as ugly. But go ahead. Come on. And by now, he's got Black Romeo in his arms, you know, and he's purring and cooling, you know, onto his grisly fucking face, right? Romeo's all getting into it, too stupid to know that any minute he's gonna be history, and then I hear it. Bam! He knuckles the fucker right over the head, but shit, that don't even stun the bastard, it don't even stun him, it just makes him mad as shit, and he lunges at the face and neck and starts clawing, and howling, I'm screaming, kill that fucking thing, kill it for God's sake, and he's chasing it all over the house, could have escaped after getting knuckle dusted a couple hundred times over the head with some kind of brass knuckle typed ring fingered contraption that he'd strapped on just to slaughter the bastard, right, chasing him all over the place, and I'm screaming, come on, hit it over the fucking head with that board, man, hit it, and he's got a hammer in one hand and a wrench in the other, looking like some kind of two-fisted fucker on some wild kind of kick, right? He's got this look in his eye like he really means it, man, all dead set on the execution of this beast, all dead set, poking at it with a broom because it ran under the refrigerator, still wielding the toolbox murder weapons, and the cat's howling for all it's worth because he's hit it over the head 10 or 20 more times, right? Groaning, groaning like some kind of demon, and he growling under the covers, and I'm going, come on, kill it, kill it, come on already, it's getting fucking wild, man, listen to that bastard wailing, and he's screaming back. What the hell do you think I'm trying to do? Get off your lazy goddamn ass and help me, man. Pick up that fucking shovel and hit it. I'll chase him out. Listen to the fucker, man. He's screaming. And I'm going, come on, put it out of my misery. I'm yelling, kill it, kill it, kill it, kill it, and out it.
And there are only 6 or 7 suppliers of that Hollywood content in the world.
Part of the body where we find these things?
No, you also find those special glands around the breast and the pubic area as well.
You're able to see the original event, and with a little practice, certain amount of practice, you can find out a great deal about what is happening.
gives us. Life just isn't like that.
Looks like we really love each other. I mean, I believe it.
My parents were the perfect movie match. But in life, my father does everything to excess, even marriage. Now he's on his fourth. Or is it fifth?
That used to be Eddie Fisher, and that's Debbie Reynolds. We're really kissing like we mean it. I guess there must have been something there. This is a bundle of joy. In this scene, Debbie, in real life, is 7 months pregnant. She's pregnant with Carrie. And this is a scene where I sing, "I've never felt this way before." And I had to do it 16 times. I was not doing it correctly. And she had to walk up those steps, and she had carrying the baby and carrying this fur coat, and it's 120 degrees, and it was all my fault. Before we were not very happy together. And I think it shows on my face. I can tell now. The honeymoon was over right after the wedding night. A warm
caress. My work has given me my happiness. My personal life has given me unhappiness. But I have no one to blame but myself for that, because I have no taste in men. None.
I'm so uncomfortable being here.
What are you angry about?
Oh, Helene's husband, Frank. And you know Frank? Oh, he drives me crazy. I had an affair with him years ago. It wasn't even an affair. He fucked me and left me. He didn't even fuck me. I mean, he just kind of left me.
To legislate new laws that apply censorship to videos, books, records, and photographs.
Like that guy back in school, what was his name, the Greek guy? Plato. He said there's a perfect thing after which all things are modeled. That's my sex life. Platonic perfection. I know what you're all thinking. You're thinking this guy, he's really lonely. Deep down, he's obsessed. He's got no love in his life. Don't tell me about love. I've got love. I save the choices for daily use. That's love. Right? Same as you. Same as everybody. But see, I got all the others too. I see some girl walking down the street. I like the way her pants fit. Bingo, she's mine. Some get scared after a while, go back to their boyfriends. It's okay with me, I understand. It's a lot to handle. Some get addicted, I get rid of them too. Most of the time, they're very cool about it. Stop whatever they're doing when I give them a call. A couple of times, girls stop screwing their boyfriends when I gave them a ring. See, they understand. This kind of quality and quantity is in limited supply. I mean, let's be honest with each other, shall we? Sex is what everybody's basically interested in. Great sex with great-looking, great fucks. There are only so many to go around. I am one.
To free yourself, to think for yourself, to question authority. Free yourself, to think for yourself, to question authority. Free yourself, to think for yourself, to question authority. Free yourself to think for yourself, to question authority. Oh, it's the American way, it's the human way to try to think better. It's the American way, it's the human way to try to think better. Way to try to think better.
Getting ready to wrap it up. The last little set of commercials coming up. In the new subliminal technique, you haven't read about yet. Chris, you know that. We've been doing them on this show for a few years now. That's why every Friday you get up and during the course of your day, certainly by Saturday, you've either bought or prepared to buy, you've gotten into the purchasing batter's box, if you will, for a kind of a tangential product hit, unusual for you. So don't worry about it, just enjoy. Demographically saturated probes have determined what your comfort zone is, and of course we rarely violate that envelope, that exoskeleton of financial membrane, if you will, which everyone has, the sort of money radar set up before them as they walk through life, or at least through American life. And we take this into extreme consideration because the one rule in Hollywood product placement hit is keep them coming back for more. It's in the genes, you know. New Metaphysics, Gary Geiserman, ZBC 90.3 in the FM, live radio. On tape later. Not to worry about now. Catch you next Thursday, 10 o'clock. We'll get intimate with each other. Have a sort of powwow with each other, if you will. Meeting of the minds. Here on the American stage. It was planned long ago. Or at least since Atlantis fell. For the fourth time. To do it all over again, but get it right this time. Using the American platform as a sort of launching pad for human transcendence. Happening now at a theater of influence near you. Some email, bluelight4@hotmail.com. Bluelight4, the number 4, at hotmail.com. Don't expect to get a response necessarily. It doesn't mean I don't like you. Or that I'm a thoughtless asshole. Just means that it's... you haven't gotten a response. It's the reverse of broadcasting from here at the Hit Factory.
But 15 years ago, he was a therapist and you fucked
Frank and then he left you?
I fucked Frank, but he left me, but he wasn't a therapist yet. He was studying to be a therapist. His father was a therapist. He was going through a really hard time. His father had written him this letter about how to be a great gestalt therapist, and he couldn't sleep at night. He had mattresses on the floor and blankets on the windows, and he had blinders because he couldn't sleep and fans rolling. I mean, I had to fuck him. He couldn't sleep.
Coming from is the skin cells under the arm themselves. And so we often think, well, because we take baths, we're, you know, wiping off our pheromones, they no longer have an effect. But we slough 40 million skin cells a day. And it could well be that those skin cells are contain on their cell surface proteins or within the cells themselves, right, compounds that are having an effect.
Now, I'm assuming that we transfer the pheromones because you put them under people's noses, that we're sniffing them in. Would that be correct? I'm not going to make any assumptions about it.
No.
We must be sniffing them in, and that's how they're getting in and affecting our bodies. Is that correct?
Well, it's somewhere near the nose, I think it's likely.
But you don't know if it is in the nose.
Well, we don't know. It's somewhere near the outside or the inside of the nose, because that's where we put it. But there are a lot of things there that are very interesting. There's the olfactory epithelium, which is how we smell odors.
Right.
Then there's a specialized organ that you've heard a lot about in the press called the vomeronasal organ, which is very different than the olfactory system. It's in a very different place. And it projects directly to the amygdala and the hypothalamus, with a few synapses in between. But the point is, it goes to the part of the brain different from the part of the brain that enables us to smell.
Hmm.
And in addition, we have something called the nervus terminalis in our nose, and we don't know what that does. And then lastly, as you know from anyone who takes cocaine by snorting it, it's possible to have behavioral effects and hormonal effects by absorbing chemicals straight through the nasal mucosa. So any four of those routes are possible here.
Collaborators, helping anti-Semites rid Hollywood of Jewish intellectuals. In effect, they had surrendered control of the industry.
If you look at the main factors in what caused the moguls' decline, I think you have to look at them psychologically and not to external factors. After all these years of commanding these studios, HUAC and other factors demonstrated to them that all the things they had dreamt about, all the hopes that they had had, all the emotion that they invested into their assimilation were really empty.
It all seems so simple, Vince. Live your life, do your work. As simple as all that. You find out it's not that easy. Nothing comes free. One way or another, you pay for what you are. Yep.
After HUAC, the fight went out of the Hollywood Jews. They lost their hold on the studios they created. Like the Wizard of Oz, having been exposed as fearful refugees fleeing from themselves, they couldn't go on pretending to be moguls.
To whom I owe a great vote of thanks, I have appreciation in my heart. Without their aid, their loyalty and devotion, I would not be standing here taking the bow.
He lived in 1957. He was fired in 1952. So the last 5 years of his life were heartbreaking. Very sad for me as a child to watch. Paced back and forth. Again, I don't want to extend the lion metaphor excessively, but all that energy was now confined to the home. I mean, that studio was his greater family, and he really couldn't bear it. And the pain was evident in his face, in his physical body language, in the anxiety in his voice, in his temper. It was just heartbreaking.
As he approached death, Mayer fell back on religion, but not Judaism. He took religious instruction from Fulton J. Sheen, the leading exponent of popular Catholicism. According to some, Mayer was prepared to convert. His daughter Irene told him that people would scream with laughter at the news. He began to fear that even after death, he would be rejected. In the end, he was buried a Jew. Harry Cohn died a year later. His Gentile wife was with him at the end.
Harry was in the ambulance, suffering from a massive heart attack, and was in pain, And he says, "Oh Jesus, Jesus Christ!" because of the pain from this heart thing. So Joan says, "Harry, my Harry, you found Christ," And so she converts him to Catholicism. Well, on the sarcophagus where Harry, there's a cross and a star on the sarcophagus. And if Harry knew that and knew what Joan did, he'd turn over in his grave.
The demand growing, as it's growing at the moment, is just fantastic. And I think as long as we can be disciplined in our financials and make sure that we turn a profit, the value growth will be spectacular, and the opportunities are just tremendous. And I think that a conference 10 years from now will need a hall 6 or 7 times the size of this one to accommodate all the people interested and wanting to learn about filmed entertainment.
That's why change is so difficult, and it's also why positive thinking on a surface level always fails. Millions and millions of people attend positive thinking seminars or buy books and tapes each year, yet very few derive lasting benefits from them. If you've ever attended any of these seminars or read any of these books, you're usually high from the motivational uplift for about 2 days. Then you go back to your old self again.